Hello, this is Karina with Gems. I have a guest today. This is a new series. If you haven't heard the last podcast, listen to it because this series is all about purpose and what your purpose is, and I'm bringing on guests to talk about that. So let her introduce herself.
My name is Diana, aka DJ Baby Dizzle.
And tell them about yourself, like whatever you want to tell them right now before we get into the questions.
So a little bit about me. I'm a DJ. I'm a promoter. I like to curate shows. I'm an educator. I work at CSU Monterey Bay. I've been working there for like 5 years. I worked for their migrant program for like 4 years, but I recently got a new position with their service learning department, which is a requirement for graduation. It's kind of like community service hours, so I help students get placed at their sites right now. I'm a Virgo.
Hey.
I was born in Mexico, but I was raised here in the Monterey County. My grandpa brought us over here when I was like super little. I was kind of born in Mexico on accident because my mom had a plan. She was going to come over here before I was born, but I was born earlier, I guess, and so she had me, she had me over there, but she was still like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, follow through with my plan. So like her plan was to come over here like 2 months later, and I was 2 months old when we came over here. We lived in LA when I first came over here, but I don't remember that. I was a little girl. I came over here when I was like 4 or 5, so like before I even started school or anything. And she was a single mom, so you know, we were kind of unstable-ish, so we would move around a lot. So I kind of have lived like all over the Monterey County. So yeah, I mean, I consider myself from here. You know, I never really lived in Mexico.
So was your first language Spanish?
It was Spanish. I didn't learn any English until I went to school. Like 5 or 6, right? But a funny story too, my name is Diana Alondra, but my mom and my family had always called me Alondra like since I was literally born. So when I started school, they started calling me Diana, and like I didn't speak English. Like I thought my name was Alondra my whole life. Like they would talk to me and like I wouldn't even respond like when they would call my name, because like I didn't understand, I didn't know who that was. But yeah, I learned English when I started going to school. I guess I learned it pretty fast. I got out of English language learning classes by the time I was in first grade already. But I mean, now my Spanish is like, unfortunately, not as great as I wish it was. And that's part of the reason why I decided to major in Spanish language and Hispanic cultures. Because I don't know, I wanted to get that part of my identity back, because I feel like my entire life, because I went to school in Monterey, I feel like I tried really hard to like hide that part of me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I met like Alejandro, aka Flaco Alejandro.
Yeah.
And he's very much like full on deeply into his roots, and I thought that was beautiful, so I wanted to take a dive into my roots, and I majored in Spanish at CSUMB. I was working for the migrant program at that time too, so it just like translated really well into my career as well. And, but yeah, I mean,
that's dope. Like, I feel like the education system messes us up as first generation, right?
Yeah.
Because, same for me, the story goes, well, I grew up with a single mother, too, as well. So, she tried her best. She was the one who came from Mexico and came here and gave me a better life, right? So, what happened was, I kind of lost my native language, too, because of the education system and other people having to take care of me, like going to Boys and Girls Club, everyone talks English there, and also just being at school all day, you know, you just kind of lose your language, which sucks.
It does.
And it's like when you get to this age and when you're 20s, you feel like you have to, it's like you're finding yourself again, right?
Yeah, you're like trying to like figure yourself out, but in order to do that, like, you have to like dig deep and like go back to your roots, you know. But I was so interested in that I, for graduation, I did, it's like a big research paper that you have to do as a requirement to graduate. It's called a capstone. And I did my capstone on the impact of bilingualism and identity in first generation students. So I had two case studies where I interviewed someone that had their background was like they had English language learning classes, and well, they both did, and it was really interesting to find out one of them had a really negative experience in English language learning classes where she just felt like humiliated by the rest of her peers because, you know, she was
in college
growing up. I think it was like elementary school, right? But like they would take her out of her normal classes to go into these English language learning classes. So she just felt like so isolated and so like humiliated. She didn't have a support program in college, so unfortunately she had to drop out. Versus the other case study, he had a really positive experience with English language learning classes. He said that he felt like he had like a sense of community in those classes, and like people like understood him, which I can see both sides to their stories. But he also had a support program. He was in the migrant program that I worked for, and that program really supports students that come from farm working migrant backgrounds. They basically hold their hand through college, which is, I mean, as a first generation college student, like, that's what you need. This is the first time you've never done it before. So, you know, he's doing fine. He's going to graduate this semester. So it was just interesting to...
There's such a difference. I literally, my eyes are open wide shut recently because of what happened to me in my English class. I met this girl. She gave me this timid energy, like shy energy, and like kind of alone. She kind of like, I don't know, like sometimes I intuitively get pulled to people or I feel like I need to talk to them. So on our breaks, I would say hi to her, started out saying just hi. And then yesterday, on Monday, I started actually talking to her. I was like, oh, do you have siblings? And this and that and this and that. And then it ended up her telling me that she was in, you know, she was undocumented. And I was like, whoa, like, there's people going through this around me, and I forget sometimes. And, you know, she's probably hungry, or because she was telling me that she's going through a lot with her family, and like it weighs on her, and she's depressed. And I was like, girl, like, I can help you. And so in the way that I can help her, I felt like, is by telling her about events going on in the college that give you certain things like food or lunch during the day, or like scholarship opportunities and stuff like that. So we exchanged numbers. I told her about the event going on tomorrow, actually. It just is, it's hard sometimes hearing people's stories, and it's like you feel so everyone's so self-centered and selfish nowadays.
Where do you go to school?
At Harnell.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great resources at schools, you know. Like, for example, at CSUMB, there's a Undocu Success Center that, like, honestly, shout out to them, because last year, so all of my family's in Texas, right? And, like, all of them are undocumented, which, like, scares the crap out of me, because, like, that's a really tough state to live in, being undocumented. But, you know, they live over there because it's cheaper than here, obviously. But basically, Texas is not a sanctuary state as how California is, right? So when you get pulled over, even for something like a traffic stop, like, cops can have the right to ask you for documentation. And that happened to my uncle, and he is undocumented, so they were trying to deport him over that traffic stop. And luckily, the Undocu Success Center at CCU Monterey Bay, I knew the director, so, I mean, I knew that they offered support to staff and students, and they were able to get me, like, lawyers from here to help my uncle in Texas, and they, like, stopped him from being deported.
Wow.
And he's now, like, working to get, like, a working visa, so he has, like, some...
Wow, you know? That's wild.
Yeah. And that support is available to freelance services, are available to staff, to students, and I'm pretty sure just, like, the community.
Oh, you said a working permit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I might need to hear more about that, because the girl was telling me from my class, anonymously, I'm not going to say her name, she was telling me that her sister is just going to start working in the fields. And it's like, well, not everybody wants to work in the fields, right? It's tough. It's like, dude, that's really not an ideal job. I'm just telling you guys now. It's like, I've seen someone work in the fields before. I've seen people that I love work in the fields, and it's not an ideal job. But
yeah,
you get the money that you need.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. So, like, there's resources out here, you guys. So listen to what she's saying.
Yes, there are resources out there. There's programs on campus, like the department I work for, there's like a sub program that we oversee, and it's called College Corps, and they have a grant to specifically hire undocumented students. So, like, there are resources out there. It's just, like, they're hidden because they don't want you to
They don't want you to know this. This is underground information.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I want to help this girl, and I felt this passion within me, like, this fire light within me when I heard her say, like, her and her family were, like, going through the hardest year of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I, dude, like, I don't know what to do when people tell me that, because it's like, I'm, like, completely going through the opposite thing. Like, I don't feel like I'm going through a hard time right now, you know, when I hear people are. And, like, what can you do, you know? But there's resources out there.
Yeah.
There is.
There are definitely resources out there. And I'm pretty sure Hartnell has to have resources like this available. She just needs to, you know, do a little research.
Yeah. So let's get into, what are your latest events that you've hosted?
Okay, so this year so far, I hosted my second annual Valentine's Day event called Love Sucks, which is basically like a Valentine's Day event, but you know, sometimes Valentine's Day isn't like for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not everybody's in a relationship. Like, you know, you're sometimes people are sad. I don't know. I'm a sad girl. So I hosted Love Sucks for all the heartbroken, sad people, and you know, lovers as well. And it sold out both years, which is really cool to see, like, the community, like, come out and support their own community, because it's, like, you know, local artists. And the first year I had all CCUMB students play it, and it sold out. And then the second year I had a band from CCUMB. They're all CCUMB students. It was their first show. They killed it, and now they're killing it. They're doing all kinds of events. And then Alejandro headlined, and I actually brought Los Shadows from San Diego, which was really scary because it was my first time booking somebody from an agency. So I had to go through their booking agency and their booking manager and sign all these contracts and give a deposit. But you know, it's a community event. It's really like nice to see like the community come out and like support each other like that, you know. So yeah, I hosted that. That was really fun. And then March has been super busy. I did my first Oakland Cumbia Town last week. I DJ'd. It was a cumbia show with a bunch of like Oakland like legends. Like these are like DJs that have been like DJing for years in Oakland. So that was really cool. Like I've been going to see them for years, and it was really cool to play alongside them. And I also did a girls' night at CCMB, which was really, really fun, for International Women's Day. And it was just like a big party for women and, you know, femme identifying people. It was really fun. I had a great time. So I did that. And then this weekend I'm DJing a Pajaro Valley Pride event, and it's like a Beyonce themed birthday party for one of my friends named Demiko. And all the funds are going to Pajaro Valley Pride. So
nice. Really love that. Yeah. Oh my god, how do you feel like hosting these events? Do you feel like it's something you always dreamed of?
Well,
or you feel like it's a lot, it takes a lot of your energy?
No, I love it. It's so much fun. But like, I mean, okay, so when I was a little girl and my mom would ask me what I wanted to do when I grew up, I would always tell her I wanted to be a DJ. Right? Yeah. I don't know why. I just love music. I don't know. Like, I've always loved music. She would tell me that, like, my dad or my uncle would, like, play really, really loud, like, heavy metal music, and that I would just, like, sleep through it. Like, I don't know. I've always loved music. But she would tell me, like, you know, that's not a real career. Like, you have to pick a real career, you know? And I feel like, valid, I guess. But so I ended up, you know, picking different pathways. I wanted to be a nurse, which is what I went to school for at MPC, but then I started working as a nurse's assistant, and it just, like, honestly, I just did not like it. I worked like super long hours, like 16-hour shifts, like 6 days a week, holidays, weekends, and I didn't like it. And then I started working at CSUMB because my aunt works there. So I was living with her at the time. She was like, okay, well, like, you need to get a better job. Like, and she was like, this place is hiring. Like, it's an entry-level position. Like, you know, do it. And that's where I got the passion to go back to school, because I was working for a program that was telling students to get their degree, but, like, I didn't have mine. So I felt like low-key hypocritical, and I was like, okay. So that consumed me, right, for like 2 years of my life trying to get my degree. I was super busy. But then I graduated, and I was like, I have all this free time on my hands. Jandro, you know, he's been doing music forever since I met him, so I'm always around, like, I'm in the scene. So I was like, I'm gonna learn how to DJ.
There you go.
Yeah, so then I learned how to DJ, and it's been really nice. Like, I feel like this community, like, they like to hype you up, you know? Like, if they like to see, like, if you're doing something, like, I definitely feel, like, the support from this community. So, it's been kind of, like, nonstop, like, and I'm so grateful to be doing all these events and hosting these events. I've been in the scene since, you know, since I met Jandro, which was like 8 years ago. So it was kind of like a very smooth he calls me an industry plant because like I started DJing like right away. Like I think like 2 months after I did my first show, I got asked to play like this huge event in LA, and he's like, you didn't even go through like the hardships of like playing for an empty crowd.
Well, girls get a little lucky easier sometimes.
That's true.
A little too. Sometimes guys have to work hard in this industry, in the music industry. Like, do you ever feel like you're like there's competition around you, or you just are on your own lane?
Honestly, I have felt a little animosity from some, unfortunately, some women. Yeah, but I try not to pay attention, and I try to just, I mean, I'm doing this for fun, you know, it's a hobby for me. So like I love to play my little songs for everybody. I try not to pay attention to that, because I don't know. I feel like I'm in my I have so too much going on in my own life that like to worry about like what other people think.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're so cute though. There you go. That's how you hustle. That's how you learn the hustle.
Literally though.
You gotta ask to know. You gotta ask to get.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But that's cool. Like, that's good. And that's why I feel like I was maybe drawn to what you do, because I can always see the come up. I know people are gonna be big before they are. There's so many people I predict that. I'm also like kind of psychic sometimes. So when I see and I know, and I'm connected to those people that are already up there that are doing their thing. I'm connected to different people in their careers that do those kind, like they stuck to what they love and like it became big.
Yeah.
So I can see it for you. I can see it for you.
I love that. Thank you so much for that.
Just keep going. I feel like we need more women like you in the industry, because like you get it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, like, I try really hard, you know, not to be like that, like put other people down for things that they're doing, because I feel like there's room for everybody, you know, like you can do it, I can do it, we can all do it here.
Y'all can all get monetized, y'all can all get paid.
We can
everybody can get paid.
Uplift each other.
Exactly.
Small community, you know? Like, why view each other as competition when we can all be doing it and supporting each other?
Yeah, and I feel like it's not always about the money. It's literally just about, like, what the energy you're creating, right? Like, in the crowd or what you want to see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
So I feel like because I try really hard to put that energy out, I'm just hoping that the universe gives me that energy back.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So, like, what do you feel like your, like, what we talked about before the podcast, like, your purpose is right now?
Honestly, so I've been thinking about that lately, because recently, I don't know why, but a lot of people have just been like confiding in me and like kind of trauma dumping on me, like a lot. And like, I feel like after I went to therapy, which I want to go back, but it was expensive, so I stopped going for a bit. After I went to therapy, I became like such a like big empath, and like I literally like feel other people's emotions like so deeply, like myself. And I feel like a lot of it is probably like being a Cancer moon too. But I feel like because I'm such a big empath, like people feel so comfortable and so like inclined to like trauma dump on me. So I don't know, that has to mean something, right? Like, I feel like my purpose sometimes in life is to I don't know, just lend someone, you know, that space to feel comfortable enough to share.
That's so
whatever
important.
They're going through with
That's
me.
That's so important nowadays, yeah.
And I feel other people's emotions so deeply that, you know, sometimes it, like, you know, like, it fucks with me a little bit, too, but, like, I don't know, I feel like it's my purpose to lend other people a safe space where they feel comfortable around me to share, and even if it's trauma dumping, you know, it's all right, like, we all have traumas, so,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, and, working with the migrant program for years too, I just feel like, yeah, my purpose is to help people, honestly, like, even if it's like something little, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like just however I can just make a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah, I definitely feel passionate about that kind of stuff, like helping people. Yeah, I totally understand that. That's beautiful. You don't really hear much people say that they want to hold a space for people because, yeah, like feeling all of that emotion, some people can just be, like, so cold and careless and, like, dude, like, why are you so emotional, like,
mm-hmm.
kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, people like you, it's rare. It's rare nowadays.
Yeah.
It's really rare.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I feel this, I've never met someone like you because I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like lately, the only love I've been able to give to is like to my son.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I have a lot of love to give, but I've had a lot of people fumble that love that I give and take it for granted. So it's like,
yeah.
It's hard nowadays to,
yeah.
like, give people that part of you. Huh?
It is. It is really hard to be vulnerable in this day and age and in this society. So that's why I like to hold a safe space for people. But, yeah, I mean, I got that energy from you. Like, when you were telling me the story about your classmate,
mm-hmm.
like, she obviously felt that about
She can
you.
Open up to me.
Yeah, so...
Well, only through personal experience I can feel empathy, right? Because, like, I feel like you have to go through some things to, like, understand people's situations or go to, like, I've been to Mexicali before, I've been to Tijuana before, I've seen different ways of living. I feel like you have to travel to see different ways of living to, like, have empathy or to understand.
Yeah.
And even, like, what's going on in different parts of the world right now, it's, like,
yeah.
there's a lot of tragedies going on, so it's hard for me to feel, like, always happy.
Yeah.
But I am grateful for what I have.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just, like, sometimes I'm just down because I know other people are going through
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's so... So fucked up too. Sorry, can I cuss off?
Yeah, I don't care.
Like every other word out of my mouth is like fuck. I swear. It's so fucked up though. Like, you know, like you said, all the tragedies happening in the world right now, and I feel like a lot of us are so like desensitized from it, and like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all over the news. We know it's happening, but like,
it's like, oh, come get another. Like, come get a new drink from Starbucks.
Yeah,
like,
right?
It's, like, all of this, like, oh, new Dunkin' Donuts. Like,
yeah.
fucking, Ice Spice Munchin.
Yeah.
Frappuccino. Like, come on.
No, it's just...
Come on. It's crazy.
It's so crazy, and it's so fucked up. It's so sad.
I mean, why did we come to America, right? To have the American dream. But the American dream is just fucking... It's...
That's what it's doing to us.
It's warping our awareness.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
We're becoming like so jaded that like I don't know. Maybe because it's, you know, nowhere near us that it's hard to, you know,
yeah.
empathize with it. But I mean, it's happening and
I mean, I feel like I'm all about it. Like the music I listen to, the sometimes even the style I wear, sometimes everything that is who I am is because of what's going on in the world. Yeah. Sometimes. And I feel like even as an artist, like as a creative, we understand like our art keeps people alive, or whatever we do keeps people alive, because it's like we're creating that reality that we want to see. And yeah, that's why I even do this podcast, because like just the interviews I have, like I like to hear you guys' purpose, and I'm very selective, you know, with who I have on here.
Yes.
That's, and literally
that feels good.
Yes. So it's like I'm so glad you're on this podcast. And even the first interview I ever did, he was Mexican, and he wanted to capture the lens of immigrants and, you know, like just our culture and stuff. And it's like I want to go back to my roots. I'm marking my words on here. I'm gonna learn my fluent language, and I'm going to just be more like more passionate about it.
I love it. Yeah, I think we all should do that.
Yes, we should. So if you feel like you've been desensitized from this world, even from your native language because of school, and like we're talking about of Deanna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her story, it's like if that moved you in any way, like really go back to your native ways, to your, you're going to feel more connected to yourself, more whole, right?
Yeah, I think so. It wasn't until, you know, I decided to dig deep into my roots that I found more of like a purpose and stuff. So yeah, do that shit. Go back to visit your family in Mexico. I've actually, you know, I've never been to where I was born. I've never been.
You never been there?
No. I've been to other parts of Mexico, but not there.
Where were you born again?
I was born in Guanajuato. But I mean, you know, I don't know anybody over there. I've been living here for so long. So I would like to go back and like get to know them.
Yeah.
But like
that can also like maybe connect another piece of yourself, just because that's where you were born, and it's like that's where the beginning started of you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like maybe if you go back, you'll be able to see like what would be my life if I was still here, you know?
I always wonder that. I always wonder what my life would have been like in Mexico. Probably fun, honestly.
Probably fun. I know someone told me recently, like, you should go to Mexico. You should go to Mexico. Go have fun. I'm like, I haven't had that kind of fun. Like,
Because
Mexico knows how to have fun. But it was nice having you on here. Do you want to close out any statements? You want anything you want to say? Just anything? Or if you want to shut yourself out again? Anything? Few treatments.
I don't know. Just thank you so much for having me and for the opportunity to just be so vulnerable. And I guess I'll shout out this. I don't know when it's gonna come out, but I'm having a show April 6th at Other Brother Beer. It's Pac Choco and Friends. I'm kind of throwing these bands a graduation party.
Nice.
So they're all gonna play, and it's Pac Choco, Jandro, Sister Four Eyes, Headsick. They're all CCMB students who are graduating this year, so it's kind of like a grad party but more hip.
okay.
So yeah, come out.
What time does it start?
Starts at 7 p.m. It's gonna be $15 at the door, but if you have a student ID from anywhere, it's $10.
Okay. Well, I'll try to be there with my boyfriend, so we can. Is it gonna be like, what's the vibe gonna be?
You know, it's kind of all over the place because Pac Choco's a rapper.
Oh, okay. I'm like wondering. I'm like, is it all Spanish or is it also a little bit of?
This is a weird lineup, kind of. Pac Choco's a rapper. Jandro does, you know, Mexican music. And then Sister Four Eyes and Headsick, they're kind of like a punk band. Uh-huh. So it's kind of all over the place.
Sorry, I knew all of them. Nice. Well, yeah. You know what? Since this is all over the place, I'm with it.
Yeah, same.
With it. I might be there with my boyfriend that day. Because we were trying to go to the Cumbia one, but I didn't tell him soon enough. Didn't want to go to that one. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to that one.
That one's far, so, you know, I understand.
Yeah. But I think I'll have the time. That's like the week after next week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's good if we plan ahead. Well, thank you for being on here. I appreciate your time. You guys check her out. Check out all the events coming up. And if you have any questions, about everything that we heard about, like, DM me or DM her on anything you want to ask. Thank you for being on here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, you guys. Bye.
Bye.